Welcome to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. Comment is the big conversation, the great debate, but it can't be unless you join in. That's why, above all, I need your telephone calls. Here's the number to dial, 44208-601-4555. You call us, we'll call you back, establish a clear line, and remember, if you get on the television with me, the volume on your television has to be at zero, or no one will understand either of us, and I'll have to move swiftly on. You can also SMS the show on 44780008066, and the best of those will come up there on the comment wall. Ditto your emails, and the email address is comment@presstv.co.uk. And the Twitter ID is comment_PressTV. All of them will go up there on the comment wall. Two interesting questions tonight. How should the Palestine activist Rachel Corrie be remembered? And how should the socialist and parliamentarian, the late Tony Benn, be remembered? Both of these human beings were very, very precious people. Let's start with Rachel Corrie. It's the 12th anniversary of her murder by the settler state at Rafah on the border with Egypt. The Zionist bulldozers bulldozed her to death as an act of deliberate murder. She was 23 years old, a young, blonde American woman who deliberately placed herself in front of the Israeli bulldozers as they bore down on Palestinian homes that they were bent upon destroying. It doesn't get much more heroic than that. She was not a Muslim. She was not an Arab. She was not a Palestinian. She was an American citizen. And she gave her life's blood to defend the people of Gaza. I personally think that she and Tom Herndl, the young Englishman who was also murdered by the settler state in Gaza, will never be forgotten. They must never be forgotten. Tony Benn would have been 90 years old this year, but we commemorate the first anniversary of his demise. I was with Mr. Benn from the 1970s, from when I was a young man. He was like a father to me. He was the gentlest, the kindest, the wisest, the bravest, and the finest parliamentarian of them all. He was the best prime minister that Britain never had. He stood up for what was right. He was proud to be a Daniel and able to stand alone as a Daniel, in whatever lion's den you put him into. As I look at his picture now, I'm moved all over again by the fact that he is no longer with us. But I will be appearing in London on Sunday night at a Stop the War Coalition event. You can get it on the Stop the War Coalition website, and I'll be tweeting it from my own account at George Galloway MP. And these are the kind of things that we will remember. If we can find the money to kill people, we can find the money to help people. Beautiful, simple, and true. And Mr. Benn was a font of such things. All war represents a failure of diplomacy, he used to say, usually whilst quoting from the foundation articles of the United Nations, in which he wholeheartedly believed and felt that the United Nations had become a pale shadow of what people like him at the end of the Second World War had wanted it to be. This idea, he said, that politics is all about charisma and spin is rubbish. It is trust that matters. Well, Mr. Ben had tons of charisma. He used to say that politics is not about personality, but about issues, though paradoxically, his personality outshone that of all others. He was pretty good at spin, too. He was way ahead of his time. He used to tape record every speech that he made so that no one could misrepresent it later. And these in the days long before mobile phones, when his tape recorder was this size and he'd put it down on the table in front of a journalist who was about to interview him, making it clear to the journalist that if he or she misrepresented him, he, Mr. Ben, had the evidence. Both great people, both no longer with us, both never forgotten. That's my view. And here he is as a young man, marching with his beloved American wife, Caroline. He came within a whisker of becoming the leader of the Labour Party. I think it was 0.465% he lost the deputy leadership, and the leadership would have quickly been his. I travelled the length and breadth of Britain with him and had the great honour to sit in the British Parliament for many years with him. He left Parliament in order to spend more time in politics. And my goodness, he did that. So there's a pale shadow of a parliamentarian. 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 50, 150 pale shadows. And there's the real thing. Mr. Ben was the president of the Stop the War Coalition from its inception until his demise and will remain forever our inspiration. This is him speaking as a very old man, but with none of the passion or the wisdom lost. He was, of course, the leader of the movement against the war in Iraq. He led the march. Even in his 80s, he was leading marches, marching for miles through central London, sustained largely by mugs of tea and his pipe, which he would smoke everywhere, even where smoking was forbidden. And look at this, Blair going to step down as the Middle East peace envoy. Can you believe it? The Middle East peace envoy? This war criminal, this mass murderer, this man who's made £100 million as a result of the killings in which he was involved, the killing of the Labour Party, making life safer for the corporations and the banks, the killing of the people of Iraq and Afghanistan, being paid now by the neighbouring dictatorships and companies within those neighbouring dictatorships. We're coming to get you, Tony Blair, and the film that I'm making, The Killings of Tony Blair, is now in the editing suite and will be on your screen very soon indeed. Tony Blair, Tony Benn, not much difference in the size of the name, but all the difference in the world in the size of the men. Let's take our first caller, Imran in Manchester. Imran, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. How are you doing?
By the grace of God, I'm good. Thanks very much. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment about Mr. Tony Benn, a great human being who has been working passionately, really hard for the sake of people in Gaza, for the people of Palestine, just to get the human rights for the people of Gaza and Palestine, which have been denied by the Western government, by the blind supporter of Israel, which has been in the Pentagon in US and our former government, plus our current government in UK, blindly supporting the killing of children, the killing of women, the killing of, you know, innocent people in the Gaza Strip by the Israeli army. You know, I think we should remember this person for a great human being. Something about him to remember him for the rest of, you know, until the world ends. We should remember this human being because he was a very good person and he was a great human being to support the humanity rather than anything else. He is a role model. And our politicians should see him as a role model.
Imran, unfortunately, the telephone line wasn't great, but your sentiments were great indeed and came across loud and clear, despite the difference in the quality of the line from time to time. Thanks very much for that call. Don't forget, as if you could, that Netanyahu, the mass murderer, the war criminal, is back in power with a big, powerful victory. Him and the people even worse than him were re-elected with thumping majorities in the Israeli election just this week. But not before Netanyahu made it plain that all this guff for more than 20 years about a two-state solution, about a Palestinian state, was all just hogwash. He tore it all up in public in order to get the votes of the settlers in occupied Palestine. So the world now has a choice. What are they going to do about this declaration of war by Netanyahu? For that is what it is. It's a declaration of war, not just on the Palestinians, not just on the Arabs, but the world. The entire world is committed to a two-state solution, which he has just, in the swirl of an election campaign, made clear he will not implement. If you elect me, he said, there will be no Palestinian state. Couldn't be clearer, really, than that. Let's hear from another man who's always clear. A young boy, in fact, Robert in Peterhead in Scotland. Robert, welcome to the show.
Good evening, George.
Good evening.
Well, I'd like to speak about Tony Benn.
Mm.
Now, sadly, I really wasn't around when Tony Benn was in the limelight, but when I heard him speak on the BBC about Gaza, I already made up my mind that this man was a good man. He was definitely 100% real Labour, old Labour, true Labour. He was a hero. He defied the BBC and went on with the broadcasting for Gaza.
Yes, this is when the BBC refused to do as other television companies were doing, to announce the telephone number and email address to which people could give charitable aid to Britain's leading charities, Oxfam, Save the Children, and others, so that they could bring aid to the Palestinians under bombardment. The BBC refused. So Mr. Benn went on to the BBC and read it out himself. And they tried to stop him, but they couldn't stop him. Nobody could stop him. Even death has not stopped him. His spirit lives on, is everywhere, is present. His inspiration for you, a young boy up in Peterhead, drives us on and forward. Isn't that a wonderful thing, Robert?
It is truly wonderful that Tony Benn was definitely an inspirational figure that led to me taking up the political banner. And you as well, George, you were both very inspirational to me in taking up the political banner.
Thank you. And, I've only picked up Mr. Benn's banner. I'll never be as great as he, but I'm doing my best. Thanks, Robert, in Peterhead. Christina is in Portugal. How should Tony Benn be remembered, Christina?
Well, I think another Bristolian by the name of Banksy should make a cartoon with his pipe and the smoke being as in the scales of justice and sneak it in somewhere really prominent. Like
maybe on the apartheid wall in Palestine. That would be a good place for it.
Yeah, or the House of Lords, or 10 Downing Street.
Yes, of course, Mr. Benn did everything he could to get out of the House of Lords. He was the son, the eldest son of a hereditary peer.
Absolutely.
And when his father died, Mr. Benn was catapulted out of the Commons and into the Lords. And not for the last time, he changed the constitution of Britain by going to court and saying, I don't want to be a lord. There ought to be no such thing as lords. The only people governing the country should be people elected by the people to govern the country. You're too young to remember it, Christina, but that's what he did.
I can remember it very well. And I can remember when he was an MP for Bristol, and everybody in Bristol absolutely worshipped him for what he did.
He was truly wonderful.
So I think that Banksy should...
That's a good suggestion. If we ever find out who Banksy really is, we'll pass that on. Christina, thanks for that call. Mo is in the UK on another hero, Palestine activist Rachel Corrie, the 12th anniversary of whose murder by settler state that they call Israel, we are also marking this evening. Mo, go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi there. Go ahead, sir.
George, where is the justice for this wonderful young woman? Where are the American politicians who always claim that they are protecting the American people?
Where Very good point. Why is there not a Je suis Rachel Corrie hashtag? Why are they not marching for this poor girl who gave her life's blood to defend Palestinian refugees whose homes were about to be bulldozed and they were about to be left in the rubble, in the elements, to live their lives? Mo.
George.
Yeah.
Where this illegal occupation state murdered this young woman, and they murder Palestinians every day. Where is Senator McCain? Why isn't he just flying to Palestine and say, I want justice for Rachel Corrie? He's ready to go and destroy nations, but he's not ready to defend an American citizen who was murdered. And this is where politicians are losing trust. People do not trust politicians because politicians do not care about people. And this is a big, big problem. Although the jury is still out on you, George, I think you're not one of those politicians, I hope. But we need politicians to be trustworthy. We need politicians to stand with the people and not for themselves or corporations.
Thanks for that call. Bani is in Switzerland. Go ahead, Bani.
Good evening, Mr. George Galloway.
Good evening. Good evening to you. Go ahead, please.
Great work, always.
Thank you.
Please, I'm a little bit, comparing with you people. I don't have a lot of education, but just one question I have since a few weeks ago regarding Israel and Palestine. How come no one is able to bring these people to the court? And then you're talking about Tony Blair. Of course, if we are not able to bring this criminal in the court, international court, while they are showing us the Holocaust in the parentheses 65 years ago, they bring those people time to time every year in the court. They show us the old people they found in Brazil or I don't know what. Without any details, they say, well, we'll find the criminal. But while we are having a live crime going on with Palestine, we have this Mr. Bibi who is being broadcast everywhere, but instead we are not able, using our web installation and Facebook and all that, and make a petition worldwide to condemn these people and ask Lahia to bring them on front of the justice, or we have to get used to this matter. Like those Jewish, those Zionist people, they say, look, this land belongs to us. These people, they have to be wiped and cleaned and put them in the water. We have to kill all these Palestinians. Sharon, what he did, he didn't even leave the dogs and Anne and old and all these
people. Well, Lieberman, who was thumpingly re-elected and will be again a member of the cabinet, last week said we should behead the Palestinians who resist the occupation. It doesn't matter when the crime was committed. It needs to be held to account. And the mass murderers of the Holocaust who presided over or in any way participated in the massacre of Jewish people and other people in the Holocaust should be remorselessly hunted down and brought to justice. And the same is true of Tony Blair and George W. Bush and the Israeli war criminals, some of whom you have alluded to. It doesn't matter how long a thief manages to hold on to his ill-gotten gains. If he's a thief, then the proceeds remain stolen goods. And one day, somehow, they will have to be returned. And the crimes committed will have to be accounted for in this life, one hopes, and certainly in the next life. Bani, thanks for the call. Ismet is in Al-Quds, in occupied Jerusalem, on Rachel Corrie. Ismet, go ahead, please. Ismet, you're on the
hello,
air.
Hello, Mr. George.
Yes, hello, brother. Go ahead.
Hello, Mr. George. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm very good. The better for hearing from you in the occupied Palestine. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for your effort. You're coming to Gaza so many times, and you've been injured for the Palestinian cause.
La shukra la wajib, Habibi. Go ahead.
And I just want to talk to the family of Rachel Corrie that we will never forget her all our life. And this girl has to build for her a big statue in the middle, not only in Gaza, even in the middle of Times Square in New York, that to show that even her government supporting the Israeli and then she stopped against the bulldozer. They supporting them to destroy the Palestinian houses. And she said, no, no for all this unfair for treating people in Gaza and all over Palestine.
I'm speechless at the power of your words and your feelings. The Palestinian people will never forget Rachel Corrie, but the American people should never forget her either. And our job will not be complete until not only is her statue in Palestine, but as you say, is in Times Square, and Tom Herndl's statue is in Trafalgar Square. Only then will we have profoundly enough changed the political leadership in both of those countries. Ismet, God bless you and all the Palestinian people living under illegal, brute military occupation in Jerusalem and everywhere else in Palestine. We're discussing tonight the Palestine activist Rachel Corrie. Carol in the UK wants to add her opinion. Carol, welcome. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi, George. Hi.
Hi there.
Hi. I was watching a video today, and it was on Facebook, and somebody said about Rachel Corrie and how she should be remembered. And it was a video of a group of people, some Palestinian, and I think some Western people as well, having like a picnic. And the IDF came along and just shot them. A couple of the guys got shot. And it was just so insane. They were just having a picnic. And it was like one of the Palestinian women was obviously really hysterical, and they were saying, look, you know, we need to get this guy to the hospital. And the IDF said, no, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And they were picking this guy up with a stretcher, and they kept dropping him. And it was almost done deliberately. The thing is that I was watching in the eyes of these IDF soldiers, and I thought to myself, these guys are insane. It was like fear in their eyes, but at the same time, insanity. And I just think, how on earth, I don't know, sometimes I just think, how is this ever going to be sorted? And I just think, poor Rachel died for this insanity. And I think she should be remembered, perhaps a statue. Maybe, hopefully, one day this will all be sorted out, some sort of statue for her.
Well, God willing, she'll be in heaven already, and I believe that she will never be forgotten. Her life was not in vain. Her death was not in vain. Carol, thanks for that very moving call. We're discussing the 12th anniversary of Rachel Corrie's murder. We're talking the first anniversary of the late Tony Benn's murder. I have to break for a short news bulletin, just 3 minutes, so don't go away. I'll be back, God willing, in 3 minutes with the second half of Comment. You're watching Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV. Still the voice of the voiceless. We're talking tonight about the 12th anniversary of the murder of the American young woman, Rachel Corrie, by bulldozer, wielded as a weapon by the soldiers and the occupation forces of the settler state that they call Israel, which has just re-elected the mass murderer and war criminal Benjamin Netanyahu as their prime minister, sending a signal to the world that the criminals of the Israeli cabinet are the people that the majority, very clear and big majority, of the citizens of what they call Israel want to continue to govern them. Netanyahu has already declared that there will be no Palestinian state. This after more than 20 years of Israeli leaders pretending to be negotiating to bring about just that Palestinian mini-state. So at least now things are clear. The world must decide what it intends to do. Rachel Corrie had no doubt what she had to do. She stood in front of the bulldozers. She would not be a witness, mutely, to the destruction of Palestinian homes by these criminals. She will be remembered forever, as Ismet from occupied Jerusalem told us so powerfully in the first half of the show. If you missed that, I really encourage you to watch the video of it, one of the most powerful calls we've ever had on Comment. 12th anniversary of Rachel Corrie, aged 23. Mr. Tony Benn, the greatest of British parliamentarians in the modern age, the best prime minister we never had, a member of the House of Commons for more than 50 years, the leader of the anti-war movement, the leader of the left in Britain, a man without peer, a man who didn't want to be a peer, who changed the constitution of this country in order to be an elected member of the House of Commons. A gentle man, a gentleman, a man of wisdom and kindness. How will he be remembered on the first anniversary of his demise? These are the subjects we're discussing this evening. We're showing scenes of men and women not fit to lace the shoes of the late Tony Benn. We're showing also Tony Blair, the war criminal, the man who laughably parades as the peace envoy of the Middle East, and a man who I hope within the next couple of days will be sacked ignominiously from that position. This is Mr. Benn in one of the very last public appearances that he made, talking against the great crime that was committed against the people of Iraq. Blair and Bush are responsible for all of this. And they're responsible for all of the crimes, the death and destruction carried out by the State of Israel, which they so fulsomely supported, financed, armed, and protected in the United Nations, in every diplomatic sphere, every fora. The veto was always there. But Chilcot is coming. I hope to live to see the Chilcot inquiry report. I hope to be re-elected for the seventh time to the British Parliament so that I'm there when that report comes forward. And if I am, let me tell you now, as I tell him every day, I will be your prosecutor in chief. As long as God gives me breath, You will never have a day's peace until you appear in the dock at The Hague, charged with crimes against humanity, charged with war crimes, and banged up in a cell, hopefully the same cell as George W. Bush, for the rest of your natural life. Ali is in South Africa on both topics. That's what we like, Ali. Go ahead, my friend.
George, many years ago, Senator Robert F. Kennedy came to South Africa at the invitation of the National Union of South African Students, and this is what he said. Each time a man stands up for an ideal or acts to improve the lot of others or strikes out against injustice, he sends a tiny ripple of hope. And crossing a million different centers in the world, these ripples of hope can bring down the mightiest walls of oppression and degradation.
Amen. Amen. And God bless his soul.
Rachel Corey, Tony Benn, George Galloway, they building up the ripples of hope. George, the other comment I just wanted to make was, I think some time ago you said, you know, to win our struggles, the Muslims must end the mazhab divisions, the sickness that is in the Muslim Ummah. I fully agree with you what you said. And the other one point I just want to make was that Jews have contributed so much to economics, medicine, and other areas. And it pains my heart to see that a bunch of few Zionists are leading such good people.
Well, that's a very important and powerful point that you make, Ali. And as you are in South Africa, perhaps you don't know of my time underground working for the African National Congress.
Yes,
and
I remember
every
that.
Person, every house, every car, every dinner was provided for me by Jews in the African National Congress, people of the highest moral character. So Jews don't have to be with apartheid. They can be against apartheid. In South Africa, many of the greatest leaders in the fight against apartheid were Jews. Joe Slovo, Ruth First, Albie Sachs, Dennis Goldberg, Ronnie Casserles, Max Coleman, Audrey Coleman. I could go on and on and on. And I appeal, echo your appeal, to Jewish people to turn away from the path of Zionist apartheid and to turn to the path of Joe Slovo and Ruth First and Albie Sachs and all these other heroes. That's where Jews should be, Ali. That's the path Jews should be on, once we're on, should return to. Over to you, Ali.
I agree with you, George. That is the path, and they must lead the path, and I agree with you.
Sirat al-Mustaqim, Ali, the straight path. That's where they should be. That's where all of us should be. And as you rightly say, this sickness of sectarianism, of selfishness, of greed, of hypocrisy, the greatest of all sins, this munafiqim.
Yes.
Who, because Ali, Rachel Corrie, if she'd fallen into the hands, God forbid, of this ISIS, would have been murdered by them. Tony Benn, if he'd fallen into the hands of this ISIS, would have been murdered by them. They would regard both of these great people as what they describe kuffar, whose life's blood is worth nothing. Am I right, Ali?
I agree with you, George, 100%.
Thank you. God bless you and all our friends in South Africa. I'm talking about Rachel Corrie. I'm talking about the late and great Tony Benn, with whom I marched literally and metaphorically almost all of my life. I met him for the first time in the mid-1970s when I was 21 years old, and I was at his funeral 1 year ago. But I don't feel that he's dead. I feel that his message, his inspiration, his approach are still with us. In fact, I find myself using some of his phrases, some of his words as if they were my own, because I heard them so often and they were so powerful and so moving. He was, look at that beautiful man. How beautiful is he? How he spoke, how he dealt with people, young and old, men and women, black and white, important, unknown. It made no difference to that great, beautiful man. And look at this that's in his wake. Now, let me go to the next caller. Biryali Osman in Nigeria. Go ahead, brother.
Hello, just gallery. Good evening.
Good evening, Biryali. Go ahead.
Yes, I want to recommend your effort for this Ladogun program. It's very, very imperative.
I think it's doing a service to the world, Press TV. Yeah. And I'm very, very fortunate that they choose me to have this platform every Thursday night. And grateful to all the Nigerians who watch us. They often can't get through on the telephones. And I'm glad that you're through and with us tonight. Go ahead, brother.
Yes. You know, I want to comment on the election that just took place in Israel.
Yes. That re-elected Netanyahu and Lieberman and all these criminals.
It's very, very unfortunate that Netanyahu won this election. In fact, it's very, very unfortunate. And there was nothing like free and fair election that took place, because most of the Arab have not been allowed to vote free and fair election. And it's very unfortunate that Netanyahu to come out openly and accuse that there will be no Palestinian state. In fact, it's very astonishing, in fact.
Well, the Arab voters were allowed to vote. They weren't allowed to vote for the parties of their choosing, because those parties weren't allowed to participate. But they did vote for a list. They got 14 MPs. But those MPs will have no power at all. And the non-Jewish population of what they call Israel will now be subject to a constitutional change which defines them in writing and under law as second-class citizens, defines what they call Israel as the Jewish state, and the millions of Palestinians under occupation are going to remain under occupation. Now, I'm not myself a supporter of a two-state solution. I believe there's only room for one state in this small piece of land, one democratic state where those who are entitled to live there as equal citizens under the law. And that means the millions of Palestinian under occupation, annexation, or siege must be equal citizens, must have votes. And those who are not entitled to live in somebody else's house will have to leave that house, will have to leave the land that they occupy as a result of a great and historic theft. That's the future for that territory. But you're right. The people voted for Netanyahu, for Lieberman, and so on. They did so with their eyes wide open. And they now have made their bed, as we say, and they will have to lie in it. The question is, what is the world going to do about this declaration of war which the Israeli electorate has just issued? Biryali, go ahead.
Yes. And the most unfortunate part is that the Arab nation, especially Saudi Arabia and other Arab nations, they don't want to contribute in this way in respect to issue of this Palestinian issue. In fact, it's very surprising. I don't know what is happening, but if you look at it, what is happening now, the Palestinians need assistance from all angles, that they should come out, all Arab nations should come out and defend Palestinians. It's very obvious. In fact, they have been killing people, they have been killing these Palestinian people day in, day out. It's very, very unfortunate, Judge. I don't know.
Well, you're right. You're right. The very minimum that we must demand from all Arab states is no recognition of the settler state, no normalization of relations with the settler state, full support for the Palestinians living under occupation, annexation, and siege, an end to Arab-Arab conflict, an end to Arab-Arab war, one national unity project to recover Palestine from the foreigners who occupy it. That's the very minimum that we can ask. If we want to go further, these Arab states should not be trading with, banking in, buying weapons from any of the states in the West that make this settler state possible. Because by so doing, they are indirectly recycling their petrodollars to Israel. If they bank in the United States, buy weapons from the United States or from Britain or from France, some of that money is ending up back in the settler state in the form of financial subvention, weapons, and other support. So the very minimum of any Arab state worthy of the name would be to do these things. Thanks very much for that call from Nigeria. We're talking mainly tonight about Rachel Corrie on the 12th anniversary of her murder by that aforementioned settler state, and also the first anniversary of the demise of the late and great Tony Benn. Idris is also in Nigeria. The phones are getting through tonight from Nigeria. Go ahead, Idris.
Yeah, good evening.
Yes, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I want to appreciate your program. I've been watching your program all the while. I'm just calling for the first time today. I'll be trying. I'm not be getting you.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, please, just want to make a contribution regarding the anniversary. Although at the time the guy was real, whether I was born, I don't know. But he had tried for the Palestinians. But I want to make a contribution regarding the election of Netanyahu. Don't look at it as a free and fair election because they were not allowed the Arabs to vote. And there is a negotiation going on now regarding the peace talk between the Palestinians and the Israelites. So is the coming of second term now, is going to allow that negotiation to continue so that the Palestinians will have their home and have peace? Because in Gaza, every time killing is too much from the Israelites. So Netanyahu, for his second term, we should look at a way to have a peace talk so that the Israelites and the Palestinians should have a way to understand themselves and have a peace.
Well, there are now no peace talks. There haven't been any peace talks for a very long time. And the long time that we did have peace talks, it's now clear, were a complete deceit upon the world. And Mr. Netanyahu has just told us very clearly there will be no Palestinian state, and therefore there is nothing to negotiate about. I say again for the second time, the Arabs in what they call Israel were allowed to vote. They did vote, and they voted in considerable numbers. We know that because Netanyahu tweeted during election day that the Arab voters were being bussed in their droves to vote. Imagine if someone in British politics said on Twitter, get out and vote, the blacks or the Catholics or the Jews or the Muslims are coming out in droves. You better come out and vote against them. Imagine the uproar that they would be on the BBC, yet not a word of this hideous racist statement by Netanyahu was broadcast on the BBC. The truth is, they were allowed to vote, but their votes will make no difference. They have 14 members of the Knesset, but those 14 members of the Knesset will make no difference. Netanyahu won a thumping victory. His allies to the right of him all won thumping victories. We now have a government being formed even more extreme than the one that murdered 2,136 Palestinians in Gaza just last summer, 500 of them children. So they've made their statement. The Israelis have said their piece, and that piece is that there will be no peace. The question is, what are the rest of us going to do about it? What are the Arab states who have relations with Israel going to do about it? They had those relations, they said, because there were negotiations going on. Well, now there are no negotiations going on. You can't have a negotiation when one side has stated in advance that what you're negotiating for will never happen. As long as he is in charge, will never happen. You saw the settlements there on the comment wall, hundreds of thousands of illegal settlements paving over the tiny part of Palestine that was supposed to become the Palestinian state. The people in Gaza are living lives which wild animals would not survive. They are living in a state which is not fit for humans to live in. They have no food, no medicine, no electricity. They have no education. They have nothing. It's all being denied to them by a siege, not just of the Zionist state, but of the collaborator military junta in Egypt also. So what are the Arabs going to do? What are the Muslims going to do? What are the Western governments that were forever telling us they were in favor of a two-state solution, some of them even recently unilaterally recognizing that Palestinian state? Well, there now isn't going to be one, Netanyahu has clearly told us. What is Obama going to do? He's paying for it all. After all, his policy is now in tatters. That's why he's the only leader in the world who is yet to telephone Netanyahu to congratulate him. There is nothing to congratulate him about. He came to Washington. He humiliated the American president and the administration. He danced on the grave of the so-called peace process. He then went home and was thumpingly re-elected. So what is the American president going to do? What is the European Union going to do? What is the British government going to do? What are you going to do? You can continue the discussion on Twitter at @comment_PressTV. It's been marvelous for me. I hope it was for you. And if it was, God willing, come back next week at the same time.
Hello, if you just comment your name and a picture of that number, and just make sure that your television volume is set up to 0.
Zero. Can you spell your name for me?
Yeah, I know. You can directly put through this, your phone number, and then we'll...